How do you respond when criticized? Do you automatically believe what your critics say about you? Well, we're going to talk about it this morning. Christian Post columnist Robin Schumacher offers some practical and biblical help in handling criticism in a recent article, and we're going to talk about it this morning. Robin is an accomplished software executive and Christian apologist who has written many articles, authored and contributed to several Christian books, also appeared on nationally syndicated radio programs, and presented at apologetic events. His latest book is A Confident Faith, Winning People to Christ with the Apologetics of the Apostle Paul. And good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you being with us, Robin. So because of, you know, obviously social media, things like that, where we've got people that are openly just criticizing and they feel more comfortable criticizing others on the smallest little things, do you think that that's making people being more critical of others more than before, or the same, or is it just being noticed more?
Well, I think what you've got, some people say that social media has created this whole frenzy that we've got. I don't think that's true. I think it's simply revealed the critical spirit that's always been there. I think now we have a fire hose that's been opened up.
Yeah.
That allows this critical spirit to just spew out over everyone, everywhere, at every place and every time. I think that's really the case.
Mm. So, Robin, so what do we do if we have that person in our life? You just see them coming. You know, they're walking up towards your desk, and you know you did something wrong because that's their angle. So, you know, how do you take in criticism and respond in a godly way?
Sure. So I think there's, in the article, I talk about two extremes, at least I try to avoid. And, you know, I've had this in my career. I've also raised a couple of daughters who have encountered tons of quote-unquote mean girls, and we've had to work through a lot of this type of thing. And so I think there's a couple of different extremes to avoid. You know, the first is when people come to us, oftentimes, and they're firing off these terrible critical thoughts and ideas toward us, our first inclination oftentimes is to believe them. You know, I would have my daughters come to me oftentimes and they would complain, so-and-so said this, so-and-so said that. And I would always ask them the question, well, is that true? You know, you've got to stop for a moment and not be on the receiving end of these things in terms of internalizing them and taking them in and believing them and living it accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first extreme to avoid. And in the article, I talk about why that is. I mean, you know, we talk about worship in terms of God, and we rightly see it as us offering praise and glory to the Creator. But the fact of the matter is, worship is something we engage in when we give weight and credence to anything. And this can be people that are attacking us. And I talk in the article about how the actual etymology of the word worship can mean worth-ship, when you assign worth to a particular object. And then it actually goes deeper, the Hebrew does, where it begins to speak about worth shape. These things begin to actually shape you because you give, again, weight and credence to this object. Therefore, whatever it thinks of you, whatever its impressions it casts upon you, you begin to believe it and live accordingly. And you want to be very careful of doing that.
Mm-hmm. Visiting with Robin Schumacher today about criticism in our society today and how should we handle it as believers. And Robin, you know, Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And as believers, how do we deal with that? I mean, it's hard to do that without the help of the Holy Spirit, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. But that's really what we're supposed to be like, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's a good section of Scripture. The other, of course, is in James, where he talks about taming the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And he basically says, if you can do that, you're a perfect person. And I only know one perfect person that ever lived, and it's certainly not myself.
Yeah.
So this is where, again, you then begin to look at the other extreme you want to avoid. So why do we participate in criticism? It's because we begin to have an air and of superiority. Our pride begins to puff out. And so the thing that we need to keep in mind is, if we were to view ourselves from God's vantage point, what would he say about us?
Yeah.
And you know, that keeps us then and constrains us from then casting dispersions on other folks.
Mm. You also mentioned a really interesting response to criticism that we can use, and that is, you don't know the half of it. Now, how would that fit into criticism?
Right. So this basically takes the point of, no matter what bad things people are saying about you, again, if they only knew the truth, if they only knew what God knows, and I talk about a pastor I heard that mentioned that when people are, again, insulting you, you should begin to think about the idea of, you don't know the half of it. There's much more that you don't know about. And in all likelihood, what he was thinking about, there's a portion in Pilgrim's Progress where Pilgrim comes into an account with Satan, who begins to accuse him of many things. And Pilgrim's response is, that's not all of it. And so he takes that approach. And again, this keeps us humble. We're able to not respond in a very aggressive way, an angry way, because again, we know that we're chief of sinners, just like Paul. And if we remember that, it helps us be able to stave off any kind of stinging rebukes and angry responses we want to fire back.
Yeah. I was also thinking, just following that train of thought, and that is, you know, when we do receive criticism, especially on social media, you know, our initial response is, well, I'll show them, you know, and we start typing out a response. Mm-hmm. But I think, and I'm trying to practice this and learn from this, and that is to, okay, let me reassess this here for a minute before we respond. Pray about it, think about it, take the time before we respond to something like that. And I think that's the way Jesus would have handled it if he had to deal with social media in his day. What other examples do we have from Jesus that we could bring into this?
Well, the first thing that, when you were talking about that, actually, I was thinking back to a statement in the Old Testament in Proverbs, where it talks about, better is a person who holds their tongue than one who takes a city. You know, it's tougher to hold your tongue than actually go out and conquer a stronghold. So this is not easy for us to do.
Yeah.
But again, if we look to Christ, who is our example, who, when he was being maligned and vehemently accused, I mean, he knows exactly what we're going through.
Mm-hmm.
Here, again, you have the only perfect person that's ever lived, who was lied about completely disparaged in many ways, and then, of course, beaten and crucified. So if we look to him as our example in not responding to these harsh criticisms and just trying to, again, see this person as someone that perhaps needs the Lord, which oftentimes is the case, especially if they're unbelievers and they're coming at you. One thing I've always tried to do and remember is, I don't expect non-Christians to act like Christians.
Yeah.
And so that's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, that's right.
That's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the difference between correction and criticism? Because sometimes correction needs to happen, but when does it cross over into a critical spirit?
Sure. So here's the thing about truth. Truth is not dependent on the spirit in which it's being delivered. So a very mean and angry person, a nasty person, could be telling you the truth.
Mm.
And so we've got to be able to, again, try to divorce ourselves from the emotion. And again, go back to what I would ask my daughters, is what's being said here true? And if it is, then perhaps we need to, again, put on our big girl and big boy pants and respond to it accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is why, again, in the Old Testament, it talks about iron sharpens iron. What are they talking about? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And so sometimes we're hearing things we don't want to hear. But again, if we step back for a moment and try to think about whether we're hearing truth or lies, that's going to help us determine which course to take.
Yeah. Excellent.
Mm-hmm. Going back to the statement you made earlier, and that is, you know, where the pastor had said, well, and also, you know, in Pilgrim's Progress, well, they don't know the half of it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also, I think sometimes we need to, as believers, like you said, can't expect, you know, non-believers to act like Christians, but also we might need to consider what's going on in their life. I mean, you know, we don't know what's going on in that person that's making those harmful criticisms on our Facebook page or to our face. We don't know. Maybe they are going through mental trauma of their own, and that's their way of dealing with it. They lash out. I don't know. Is that a fair assessment?
I absolutely think so. If you look at what fuels anger, most of the time it is fear. People are afraid of something, and so they lash out in some form or fashion. So I would always also ask my daughters, you know, when they would tell me about these people that are abusing them verbally, you know, how happy do you think these people are?
Mm-hmm.
How happy do they appear to you? Most of the time, this is coming from a place of extreme unhappiness and abuse on its own. And so they're just simply replicating what's occurred to them or what's going on with them. And as you said, it's something we should take into account, but boy, oh boy, is it tough to step back and do that.
It is. That is for sure.
And Robin, like if a spouse was critical with you, is it okay to say, this is what I'm hearing you say, or something like that? Because maybe they're not meaning to be critical. Maybe we're just hearing that.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. One of my favorite apologists, you know, when he would engage in debates with unbelievers who would begin to get really ugly with him, he said he would always think back to the point of, no matter what I do here, Lord, please help me just to not be unkind. There's no reason to respond in unkindness. I can try to correct, I can try to deflect, but let's not descend into kind of any angry rebukes and things like that. And so, yeah, I think you're right, especially if in a marriage or whatever where a lot of time the fists can fly fast and furious.
Mm-hmm.
It is a good time to just kind of step back, do a quick timeout or whatever, and try to reiterate what's being said and see if you can then retrace the steps back to where perhaps that original criticism came from. And again, perhaps it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that is Dr. Robin Schumacher and the author of this article that we're talking about today about criticism. You can go to Christian Post and find that. But Robin, blessing to have you on with us today. Thanks for taking the time to visit.
Thank you for having me.